Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. From public television in Canada to MTV, his living room to his new set at Access TV, Tom Green has made an impressive career of subverting talk show conventions in a manner befitting his absurd humor, which he's honed in recent years on the stand-up circuit. Green is like a Letterman for Generation X, able to call attention to the absurdity of the talk show idiom while still doing a good talk show. In fact, he's guest hosted for Letterman in addition to two shows for MTV and Tom Green's House Tonight, filmed right in his living room. He has also appeared in films like Freddy Got Fingered, Road Trip, Charlie's Angels, and several television shows, hosted a podcast, and blogged for the Huffington Post. Green's new show, which places a premium on the one-on-one interview, is called Tom Green Live, and it airs Thursdays at 9 on Access TV. Tom Green, welcome to the Roundtable.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Wow, that's quite the intro. That's like, that sounded pretty cool. Thanks, man. You made me sound cool.
Well, it's all true. How did you decide to get back into TV?
I've just always loved, television. Obviously, this is sort of really what, drove me to get into this business was I grew up just loving David Letterman and shows like Tom Snyder and Johnny Carson. I started my show back when I was a kid on public access TV because I just wanted to do that. And ended up on MTV, and it's been great. But I've always sort of loved it, and even after the show on MTV, I was doing this internet show, and I've really enjoyed interviewing people. And I'm such a fan of comedy when I do stand up, I love getting up on stage and being outrageous and talking about issues and getting laughs. But on my talk show, I like to just interview comedians that I love and hear what they have to say. So it's been cool, and I just started this new show on Access TV, which is essentially a spin-off of my podcast that I've been doing, and I'm loving it.
You've talked about how your career started, where basically you took over public access slots in Canada, and these tapes got a huge reputation. Eventually, you end up on MTV with it. I wonder, if you were starting out now, would you have gone to the internet first? Would you be like a YouTube guy instead of the public access? Was it more having to do with the time you came up that influenced that route?
Yeah, well, there was no internet then. I mean, there was internet, but you couldn't do video on the internet. We had a website. I did college radio, and that was the only real outlet for independent broadcasting at the time, was going to the college radio station or the public access station. And I'm not sure what I would have done today. I mean, the internet is so mainstream now, and so many people are on it, and so much about what I was doing back then was about sort of bucking the system and rebelling against the sort of norms of society. So I may have ended up, getting into a completely different line of work. I'm not sure. It's amazing today, how much access we have to video cameras and editing and technology that allows you to make comedy. And it's really changed everything. And back when I started my show, it was kind of exciting because we were the only ones really doing it. It wasn't like there was all my friends were out making their own funny videos. It was really I was the only person, that I knew who was doing that kind of thing. And that's kind of what I liked about it. So,
For people in my age group, I think a lot of us kind of grew up watching you on MTV. And I still think there are things you did on that show, your first MTV show, that were absolutely groundbreaking and hilarious. I always laugh when I watch a talk show. I don't care if it's, Conan or Fallon or whatever, Letterman. But you put another co-host like 30 feet behind the main set laughing at jokes in like the back kind of seating area. I still think that it doesn't make any sense, but it's just really, really funny.
Yeah, I mean, we were sort of an anti-talk show. We were trying to, sort of deconstruct the format and do things that were wrong, basically. Try to do things the way that other people weren't doing them because it was just wrong. And that made us laugh. A lot of what we were doing was making fun of television itself. So we had some great times doing that show. It was a very rebellious show. And fortunately, we have the internet and YouTube now, and all of those moments live on, and you can catch all of tons of those sort of early public access moments on my YouTube channel. Yeah, so it's cool.
As we all know, smoking is really cool. Cool kids smoke. You can even tell that I have sort of a cooler voice when I have a cigarette in my mouth. Listen to me, I sound like Clark Gable for f***ing sakes. This right here is what we call a space-age mobile smoker's environment. It's an invention I've come up with. This enables me as a smoker to go in places where I'm normally not allowed to go. Restaurants, bars, hotels.
Hey, don't hit me, don't hit me, for crying out loud, don't hit me.
I'm not allowed to smoke.
Oh, no, it's okay, I've got a SAMC.
I'm sorry?
I've got the SAMC. Yeah, the space-age mobile smoker's environment, so it won't bother anyone. See?
And you know, the new show that I'm doing now, it's just sort of an extension of what I was doing then, but really it's what I always wanted to do, which is just do a real talk show where I sit down and then talk to some of my favorite comedians. And we've had two episodes now. Well, the first one was with Richard Belzer and the second one was with Howie Mandel, and they were both just amazing guests and we had such a hilarious conversation. And our callers can actually call in and talk to our guests on Skype on video. So it really is an interesting new format where we're using the internet and blending it with television and creating this really goofy show.
Who are some of your models as far as the interviewing side goes? Because certainly from comedy, we know, you know, you're very much a Letterman disciple and people in that vein. But as far as, you know, the one-on-one interview, who are some of the people you look up to?
Well, you know, when I was first exposed to that, it was Tom Snyder. When Letterman brought Tom Snyder back onto CBS in the 90s, and you know, I was a kid in Canada, loved television, and I loved Tom Snyder. He would have a single guest at a time. They would take phone calls. Yeah, it was sort of an interactive experience. It was like a radio show that they were televising, and I loved that. And he was one of the great broadcasters of all time. And, you know, since as I've grown up, I've really gotten back into looking at some of the old school talk, and I really love Jack Parr, who is, I always found, as I find, just was such an interesting person and such a interesting interviewer. And the show is sort of modeled after some of those kinds of shows from the 60s. And you really do have in the 70s, you know, we have a chance to sort of sit there and really talk to the guest. It's not rushed. It's not a sort of a 10-minute interview. It's a 48-minute interview when you extract the commercial breaks. It's like an hour-long show. So I'm able to sit back and let the guests talk and really say what they want to say. And I do a lot of research, and I really understand. I try to understand everything I can about the person and their life and their opinions before the interview, so I can really kind of lead it in an interesting direction and try to get some comedy out of everybody. So it's been going great, and the show's really, really taken off. We're getting a real great buzz for the show, and people online are loving it, and it's different than anything else really on TV right now.
Speaking of backgrounds, you almost made it in a hip-hop group, a Canadian hip-hop group. You came close to breaking through before going into comedy and TV. So do you ever think back on going back to that, or how your life might have been different if you had stuck with that career path?
Well, you know, we had a record deal in Canada, and the song was playing on the radio, and I was just out of high school, and I remember, you know, we had this hit song in Canada. So, you know, as far as anyone was concerned, you know, we were a pretty big deal, even though we weren't making any money, and it wasn't like we were, like, you know, really successful, you know, as in Canada, you know, in the Canadian music industry. It was really just kind of cool to hear yourself on the radio, basically. But it was a neat early sort of exposure to show business, I guess. And we would be on Much Music and on television all the time. Much Music is the Canadian MTV, and it was really cool. So, but you know, I'm 42 years old now. I don't really think it's the time to get into rap, get back into rap. You know, I do like making music, and I have a recording studio that I, you know, like to record music in and for fun. But really, you know, I'm really enjoying what I'm doing now. I'm doing a lot of stand-up comedy. I'm touring doing stand-up. I'm doing this show. It's a show that I think, you know, adults can actually enjoy. It's a show that's fun for all ages, you know. Everybody likes a good, hilarious conversation. So
certainly,
I'm doing exactly what I want to be doing now. Probably not going to be getting back into rap anytime soon.
What is it about you Canadians so many people in comedy, they sound like you, and they have a similar worldview.
You know, we grow up in a different environment. We are certainly huge fans of comedy. A lot of us, you know, I've certainly looked up to a lot of Canadian comedians who had gone on and achieved success. And I think when you grow up in a place that is isolated from, you know, we're not part of America, obviously, but we grew up watching a lot of American television. We grew up watching a lot of American media. You know, I grew up watching Letterman, but, you know, you'd sort of think, wow, that's another world. How do we get down there? How could you get down to New York City? And it becomes sort of something I think that's very inspiring to a lot of young Canadian kids who want to get out there and do comedy. And, you know, I think there's a lot to do with just our culture, where there's more of a connection to the, you know, British Commonwealth. You know, we grow up in sub-zero temperatures, so you have to have a sense of humor because you're freezing, and you gotta make a joke about it because it's just crazy. Human beings should not be living in the kind of cold that we grow up in up there. And, you know, I think it just, we become, you know, we're goofy people. You know, Canadians are pretty goofy, and we like to have a laugh. So I think you combine all those things together, and it creates a good petri dish for comedy.
Not to give you the social studies question where you'd want to have dinner with Abe Lincoln or anything, but let's say living people. Who's your top get for the show that you want to interview the most?
Well, I think, you know, it's probably unlikely I would ever be able to interview David Letterman. I'm not sure, but I would love to interview David Letterman. That would be amazing to have him sit down with him for an hour. I had the, you know, pleasure and honor of being able to host his show once, which was exciting. And, you know, but he's in New York, so I don't know. Howard Stern would be amazing. Jay Leno, you know, people that I really like, you know, like to interview people that I'm a big fan of, and people that have been successful at the top of their game in their field, and especially in the field of comedy. I like having people on the show that are hilarious, and that can and so I can sit back and just laugh and enjoy the show with the audience and listen. So I think those would be probably some of my top gets. You know, that would be the dream guests. You know.
When's the last time you watched MTV?
The last time I watched MTV, geez, it's been a while, actually. I don't really watch a whole lot of television. When I do, I try to find I watch the news. I've been watching, I just started watching House of Cards, which I really enjoy on Netflix, and I watched Breaking Bad, but I haven't seen the new season yet, so don't give me any, I'm waiting for it to come out on Netflix. But I haven't watched MTV in a long time, actually. I watched a little bit of the Miley Cyrus thing on the internet after, just because I wanted to see what everybody was talking about. I was like, well, why is everyone freaking out about this? It's just, they do the same thing every year, and then everyone freaks out. Oh, Britney Spears kissed Madonna. Oh, my God, this is an outrage. Oh, my God, can you believe this is outrageous? You know, it's just sort of this manufactured outrage. And it's always amazing to me how the public just gets swept right into it. But I love MTV. Don't get me wrong. I mean, they changed my life. It was certainly something that I wouldn't be here today doing this talk show if MTV hadn't picked up my little public access TV show in 1999 and put me on the air and literally changed my life. So I have a lot of fondness towards the network, and certainly am very grateful that they did that. But I'm a 42-year-old guy now, and your interests change, and it's just not really programming to my tastes at this point. But I love the network. Yep.
Yeah, not their target demo. Okay, last question. You on MTV publicly battled your testicular cancer, and I just wanted to check in and see how you're feeling. How's your health? You know, everything going okay?
Yeah, everything's great, man. Totally cancer-free. It's been, you know, over 12 years now since I was sick, and it's a very highly curable form of cancer, so I'm doing great. And I'm just having a blast with this new show, man.
Well, that's Tom Green, and the new show is Tom Green Live. It airs Thursdays at 9 on Access TV. Tom Green, a real pleasure to speak with you, and thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.